Psalm chapter 4 and verse number 4, the Bible said, stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Selah. Read it with me, would you please? Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Selah. You can be seated. Please pray with us tonight. Father, thank you tonight for the Word of God. Thank you, Father, tonight for the good singing that we've heard. Thank you, Lord, for the service this morning. Lord, I do look forward to our people being well again and all of us getting back at the same time. But Lord, we may be in heaven all at the same time before that happens. So I just pray that we'd make the most out of each service, that we'd enjoy one another's fellowship, and our Father, that we would lift up high that old blood-stained banner and just tell a lost and dying world, Jesus is still in the saving business. Lord, we just pray that you would help us, Lord, to glean the truth that'll transform our lives. Make us more like you, Lord. Lord, make us more like you. Help us to love more like you loved and care more like you cared. Walk more like you walked. Talk more like you talked. And Lord, we'll give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. If you have your Bible, 2 Timothy chapter 4 tonight. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. This morning we looked at the beginning of the Apostle Paul's Christian experience when he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. And I hope you'll never get over where you meet Jesus. How many remembers where you were when you met Jesus? Amen. Bob, you and Rusty met Jesus real close to the same place. Amen. I remember Brother Gary when we was building that back there. You remember me, we'd get around and pray once in a while and I'd say, I believe somebody will be saved. Amen. And they were. And there'll be more if Jesus don't come back. It'll get saved by the grace of God. Amen. This morning we're looking at the beginning of the Apostle Paul's life. Tonight I want to look at the end. In chapter number 4 and verse number 6. I'm going to be reading several of the verses tonight as we go through the message. But he said, I'm now ready to be offered. And he said, the time of my departure is at hand. I want to say something here. I don't know if I've ever said from this pulpit, but I've been around a lot of people that were leaving this world. I believe sometimes God lets them know. God had let Paul know. He said, he told Timothy, he said, the time of my departure is at hand. I ain't going to be here long, Timothy. And he said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. And I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Was it Wednesday night when I couldn't remember all them crowns? Was it Wednesday night? There's a crown of righteousness. Here I go again. I hope I can remember tonight. There's one I was missing. There's a crown of life. There's a crown of glory. There's a crown incorruptible. And the one I was missing was the crown of rejoicing. That's the soul winner's crown. Paul said, are not even ye in the presence? What is our hope or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ? Here he mentions a crown of righteousness. Henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge. How many believes he's the righteous judge? You might pull it over on a judge down here on the earth, but I tell you what, you'll never pull it over on the judge of heaven. Amen. He'll never be fooled. You might get off on a technicality down here, but you won't get off on a technicality over there. Amen. Only the blood of Jesus will be there to forgive us of our sin. Henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And I like this. He said, not to me only, but to all them also that love his appearing. Think back about our text now for just a minute over in Psalm chapter number 4, stand in awe and sin not. I believe tonight it would be safe to say, if somebody's looking for Jesus, they're not sinning. What do you mean, preacher? I'm not saying that we're perfect or sinlessly perfect, but you all know exactly what I mean. Say amen. There are times the television needs to be turned off. There's times it needs to be thrown out in the backyard. Amen. The old preacher said years ago, he said, you'll let stuff go on in your living room, on that television that you wouldn't dare let go on in your living room. Say amen. All I'm saying is Paul said, if we love his appearing, that's good for us. I spoke to a couple the other day, and they both say they're saved by the grace of God. I have no reason to doubt that. They both seem to have good testimonies. And this is what I told them. I said, going to church don't save anybody, but saved people ought to go to church. This is what I told them, Brother Ralph. I said, Jesus is coming. Y'all believe that? Oh, yeah, we believe that. I said, well, there's two ways the believer's going to stand before Jesus. You're either going to stand before him with confidence. I'm just going to tell you right now, if he comes right now, I'm glad I'm where I am.
Amen.
Amen. If he comes in the morning and I'm over at Indian Path or over at Holston Valley, I'll be glad I am where I am about my Father's business. Amen. But I'm going to tell you tonight, listen to me carefully. I'm not fussing tonight. But if I was sitting at the house watching TV tonight and Jesus come, I believe I'd be embarrassed when he come.
Amen.
The Bible said we can either stand before him with confidence or we can stand before him ashamed at his appearing. Tonight I want to look at the end here of the Apostle Paul's life. And what really gripped my heart this week, we had it, Brother Steve put it up on the screen this morning on the announcements. What really gripped my heart was verse 16 and 17. And I'll get to that in a little while, but let me just read it right now. Paul said, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. He said, I pray God that it might not be laid to their charge. Now I want to ask you something. Who does that sound like that we studied this morning? It sounds just like Stephen, don't it? Here he is at the end of the way praying that God won't lay this to their charge or that God would forgive them. Watch what the Bible said. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. And beloved, listen, this is what got a hold of my heart this week when I looked at this. Actually, God gave me this message before he gave me the message that I had this morning that I came to the pulpit with this morning. And I thought about how that we ought to stand in awe that the Lord stands with us and that he will stand with us all the way, even to the end. Here in the end of the Apostle Paul's life, he said, all men have forsaken me. He said, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. You can find that over in the first chapter of 2 Timothy. But tonight, he said, don't forget this. There's one that's still with me. He's Jesus. The Lord stood with me. Now, I want to give you some things that I believe that really are a proof text that the Lord was standing with him that, and a reason to stand in awe in the end of our life. We can stand in awe of the beginning of Paul's life as a Christian, but we can also stand in awe in the end of his life. Let me give you five things hurriedly. I won't be long. I promise. Y'all have been gracious. Let me give you five things. I stand in awe because there are some that are still following. The Apostle Paul has gone all the way from the Damascus Road now to the end of his life, the time of his departure is at hand. But when he looks behind him, there's somebody still back there, Brother Preston. Brother Steve mentioned not too long ago that there were many that were in his youth group years ago that have kind of just drifted away and they're no longer faithful. But he said this, there's a few. It's still hanging in there for God. Amen.
In other words, beloved, you say, preacher, where do you find that in the chapter, in the first few verses? He said to Timothy, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. You can watch, listen, 90% of what you'll watch in the name of religion on that television is exhort. Ain't nobody rebuking. Ain't nobody, beloved, reproving. Am I right or am I wrong? I'm telling you, beloved, this young man, Timothy, was told by the older man of God, Paul, as he's leaving the scene, he looks back and says, thank God there's somebody following. Somebody's taking up the slack, and somebody's going to keep preaching the word of God. There's some that will follow. A man said this years ago, and I never have forgotten it. He said, if you think you're leading, and you look behind you and no one's following, he said, you're not leading, you're just going for a walk. Amen. Think about that. Beloved, what would it be like tonight to get to the end of the way? Bob, this would be worthy of your attention tonight. What would it be like to get to the end of the way? And you're like Paul saying, the time of my departure is at hand. And there comes Sawyer. Came to the same cross. Came to the same Christ. Lived his life for the same God. Wouldn't that be wonderful? To look back and see somebody's following. Not all of them are going to follow. But thank God we can stand it all that some are following. There's some that will fight. You say, preacher, what do you mean? In verse number 3, Paul tells Timothy, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. I never thought about this before, but what he's saying is, some are not going to want sound doctrine. They're just going to want you to pump them up every Sunday. They ain't never going to want you to mention that little three-letter word, sin. Ain't that right? And he said, they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. He tells Timothy, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. He said, I'm now ready to be offered. He said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. I thank God tonight that even when Paul got to the end of the way, he was still in the fight. You say, preacher, I thought he was getting ready to die. He is. But watch over here in verse number 13. He said, the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, he said, bring it with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. He said, preacher, why did you mention that? Listen, he might be getting ready to die, but he ain't going to quit until he does. Amen. He's going to keep on studying. He's going to keep on letting God use him, amen, pinning down scripture. Until the Lord comes and takes him home. I fought a good fight. Boy, I tell you what, I'd love to be able to stand in awe in the fight when I'm getting ready to breathe my last breath, getting ready to leave this world. I'd like to know that I'm still in the fight. Let me give you this tonight. Paul's coming to the end of the way. I believe he's standing in awe. There's still some that will follow. There's still some that will fight. But listen, I believe just as he stands in awe of the positive, he's going to be standing in awe of the negative. There's some that will forsake. Watch what the Word of God said here. In verse number 10, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. You can't tell me that that didn't bother the Apostle Paul. He's excited that there's a young man that's still following, but his heart is broken because there's somebody that said, hey, I'm not going that way anymore. I'm going to go the way of the world. It's terrible what Paul is thinking. He's, I believe, standing in awe, not only of the positive. Watch in verse number 11. there's forgiveness here. Verse number 11, only Luke is with me. He said, take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. There was a time, listen, when Mark and Paul and Barnabas were in contention about Mark, and Paul ended up taking Silas, and Barnabas had to take Mark. But Paul has gotten over that. He said, bring Mark. He's profitable for me and the ministry. There's some that will forsake. Thank God, not all. There's some tonight, if you'll look on, turn the page over, verse number 14, there's some that are foes. Did you know there are people today, listen to me carefully, trying to do the work of God, and they don't understand that the enemy's going to be there till we quit breathing and step off in the presence of God. The enemy's going to be there. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Look in verse number 14. The Bible said, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Turn back to Romans chapter 12. I didn't intend to read this, but I believe I need to tonight. In Romans, I believe it's in chapter 12. Look in verse number 17. I believe Paul is practicing what he preaches concerning his foes. In verse number 17 of Romans 12, the Bible said, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Don't that sound like what Paul's doing? Over there he said, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his work. He turned it over to God. Said, God will take care of it. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Paul's in the end of his life. The word of God said, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. I don't know this for sure. Brother Thurman, you were talking about prayer. Could be if you looked at Paul's prayer list, Alexander the coppersmith was at the top. The one that had done the most evil to him. He put him up there at the top. Said, I'll pray for him every day. The Bible said, of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. Beloved friend, there are some that will follow. We ought to just stand in awe of that. Some that will fight. There's some that will forsake. And there's some that are foes. But I want to close the message with this tonight. There's one that is faithful. And that's Jesus. The Word of God said, notwithstanding, at my first answer, no man stood with me. Look back at 2 Timothy 1:15 just for a moment. 2 Timothy 1, chapter 15, the Bible said, this thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are, I think you would say that, Phygellus and Hermogenes. There was a time, Paul said at my first answer, not one man was standing with me. All men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Now if they forsook him, listen to me carefully. I don't think I'm adding to the Bible. But it must have meant at least for a time they were with him. Would that be fair enough? That at least for a time they were going in the same direction as Paul, had the same aims as Paul. And now they've forsaken him. I'm going to tell you something tonight that hurts. But God is faithful. Even in the end of the Apostle Paul's life, he said, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. What did the Lord do? Look in the verse. It strengthened me. If ever there was a time, beloved, We need God to strengthen us. It's in these days that we live in. I told Sister Kim this morning, standing in the vestibule out there, years ago, I don't know if I had a paint can in my hand, a rattle can, like a spray can. I can't remember exactly. I can't remember exactly what kind of can it was, other than it was pressurized. It was a pressurized can. Because Brother Preston, on the can, it said this, contents under pressure. And I preached a message one time entitled, Contents Under Pressure. I have believed this for years. The more or the closer that we get to the coming of Christ, the more pressure. Listen to me. The early church was not exempt. Why should we be? We ought to start asking ourselves this question, beloved. Are we going to stand and fight? Or are we going to roll over and play dead when the enemy comes? You say, preacher, the enemy's not coming. You better wake up. You better wake up. The enemy will come to your house. He'll come to my house. He'll come to our church. He ain't going to leave our church alone. And the closer we get to the coming of Jesus, the more we're going to need the Lord to stand with us. We're going to need His strength. But Paul, what I want you to see, that I stand in awe of this man's life. Even in the end, this is the man that has been shipwrecked. This is the man that's in peril in the country and in peril among false brethren. This is the man that's been stoned and left outside the city for dead. He's been through some things in his life. He comes down to the end of the way. He said, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. And He strengthened me. And I believe this is what we really need to see tonight. There was a reason that God strengthened him. It wasn't just so he could run around like Superman with an S on his chest. It was for this reason, that by me, the preaching might be fully known, and all the Gentiles might hear. Paul gets to the end of the way, and he's still concerned about those who need Jesus. He's still concerned and understanding and believing that the gospel is what they need. I believe that, don't you? You know what people need when we go to work this week? Y'all go to work. My work's done after today. I just have to work one day a week, according to my grandson, Lucas. He wants to be a preacher when he grows up. How come? His mom said. He said, that way I just have to work one day a week. He didn't even count prayer meeting, did he? Amen. Here, the Apostle Paul is pointing us to one that is faithful. He said, the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord shall deliver me. I want you to look at Paul's confidence. He said, from every evil work, and will preserve me unto His heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I hope when I come to the end of the way, there'll be some that are still following, some that are still willing to fight. I hope I won't be too shaken by some that'll be foes, enemies. Really, when you look at it, they're not our enemies if we're standing for what's right. They're the enemies of God. Some that will forsake. But I hope I never forget, there's one that's faithful, always. Brother Gary, you mentioned prayer for Sister Reber and Sister Jade. They both know tonight there's one that's faithful. I've talked to both of them, been around them enough to know their hearts are broke. But thank God there's one that's faithful. Brother Larry, we don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future.
Amen.
And he's faithful. What was it? I think, I can't remember exactly how that conversation went on. It was when Abraham, was he talking to the angel of the Lord about Sodom? You know, would you destroy it for 50 and then 45 and 40? Is that right, Brother Larry? Was he talking to the angel of the Lord in that conversation? But in that conversation, I believe it was the angel of the Lord, I believe, that said this, "Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?"
Amen.
Paul got to the end of the way.
Yeah.
There was some that wasn't doing right, but there was one that always does right. His name is Jesus.
Amen.
How many's glad you come tonight?
Amen.